You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Money starts right now, live from the NASDAQ market site overlooking New York City's Times Square. I'm Melissa Lear. Traders on the desk are Tim Seymour, David Seberg, Brian Kelly, and Guy Adami. Tonight on Fast, Twitter is tanking after infamous short seller Andrew Left says it is about to suffer a worse fate than Facebook. But could it be your best chance to buy the stock? The traders will weigh in. Plus, don't look now, but General Electric is surging, having its best day in months. We'll tell you what had investors running to the stock. But first, we start off with a sell-off on the street. Check out the NASDAQ 100. Taking a turn midday, selling off hard and taking the rest of the market along with it. All the major indices closing near the lows of the session. And since the tech sector hit a high back on March 12th, it has been all downhill from there. It is 9% down from its 52-week high. It has lost a whopping $570 billion in market cap. So is a tech trade unraveled? And if so, can the market rally without it, Guy?
Well, I'll go backwards. So I don't think the market can rally without technology. I'm not certain it's unraveled yet. You know, Tim's been on this Facebook. You know, I thought Facebook had bottomed a couple times. Clearly, that's not the case. And the problems in technology seem to be far more than just Facebook now. They're obviously individual stories. But the volatility we're seeing, and on Friday we said, or at least I said, I think this will be the most important week maybe of the last 5 years for the market. And I still stand to that. The reversal we saw today was pretty staggering in terms of the broader market. And if technology is going to give up the ghost, that 25-85 level or so that held so well last Friday and got us a rally yesterday is absolutely in jeopardy coming over the next couple days.
If tech is not unraveled, it has just gone through a 1-2 punch. I mean, the business models of some of the biggest tech companies out there, the ones that dominate the NASDAQ 100, are thrown into question. And then one of the fastest growing sectors powering the tech sector, autonomous drive cars.
Well, look at NVIDIA.
That's being in question, too.
So NVIDIA gets crushed, and we haven't seen NVIDIA have a move like this. Meanwhile, NVIDIA is still up probably 15% on the year. But what you're talking about, Mel, also is just, you know, I'm not a technical guy, but I use technicals as a guidepost. We have some great guys on. We're going to have one on tonight. But the technical damage in a number of these stocks is significant, including now getting downward sloping 50-day moving averages, which just means, folks, that we've been at this long enough that we've changed the tone. And so 50 days effectively means that we, if you think back to where we were in early February, and this isn't about, you know, trying to say I told you so, but what I've been saying every night since then is we're not going to tie a neat little bow around this. There's a lot of things going on. And as you're talking about, Mel, did we really ever think we were going to be having this existential view of the tech sector, which was grow at all costs? Who cares? Yeah. These guys are tomorrow's trade. But guess what? 2 weeks ago, it was steel companies. Did we really think steel companies were going to derail us? Did we really think it was going to be Gary Cohn? Did we really think it was going to be Rex Tillerson? You can go on and on. The market doesn't give you those opportunities. And I just think the 700 move reversal of yesterday's 700 move up, markets aren't supposed to do this. Yeah, and I think investors need to be careful and not try to trade this day to day.
I agree with not trading data, but there is a perfect storm set up here. You had every massive crowded trade. You had Tesla coming off. You had Facebook come off. You had Google basically test a very significant level at $1,000. It kind of held there, which is a very good sign, in my opinion. But ultimately, you've got all the social media names basically derailing, including Twitter. So the setup is just terrible right now in technology from the standpoint of sentiment. Do I think it lasts a little bit longer? I do. Do I think that the market can rally without tech? I absolutely do. But where's the leadership going to come from? That's the question. I think we have to wait till earnings. Earnings is going to be the telltale here. And I think it's just a wait-and-see mode until then. You're going to get trading bounces that you should be able to play, but ultimately, it's
and the problem you have with something like Google, which is one we talked about last night, is possibly one of the names that people haven't looked at, right? Because their business model is in question as well. They explicitly sell your data for advertisement, right? That's what they do. But I don't think people are going to stand for that in this environment. You look at Google, it broke the 200-day moving average today, closed below the 200-day moving average. So to Tim's points on the technicals, if you're looking for guideposts, that's certainly not a place that I want to pick anything up in a weak market. I want to stay out of the way of tech. I'm not sure that the market can rally. I mean, right. You know, tech was the, hey, listen, this is the only place we're getting growth. This is where we're going to go. So now if you're throwing that into question, what else do you buy? What can be the leader? I don't see it here.
I think Google technically $1,000 is the mark, right? If it breaks 1,000, I think it's lights out till 885. But I think important to recognize when you think about Facebook, right? the issues that they have, the only reason Google got in that game is because ad buyers are going to them basically saying that Facebook's giving us all this data and all this information around your user base. You should as well. That was about 2 years ago.
People waking up today and saying, oh, I'm on a free platform and they're not using my data for something is idiotic, okay? I'm not condoning what Facebook did, and I think there's actually a lot of room for disclosure. This is about privacy, and hopefully these companies can regulate themselves to a point we don't have more regulation, because I think that the most private company will win. But suddenly, you know, again, it gets, let's talk about the market, because I think we're going to have time to talk about Facebook and tech a little later in the show. I think when it comes to the market, we also broke 280 very healthily on the 10-year. We're at 277. Think how short rates are, global macro guys are. If you don't think that they're getting hammered right now, too, and if you don't think that there's pain on both sides of the market, there's enormous.
And we'll get to this a little bit later, too. But, I mean, the yield curve is probably the flattest it has been in the 10-year cycle that we have seen.
52 basis. Where
you add it up, right? Financials.
227 against
technology.
It's 50 basis points, guys.
Financials and technology, the two biggest sectors in the market, flat on their backs right now.
Right.
And you add on top of that, and we're not going to get in the weeds here. It's not the night to do it. But a little word called LIBOR that everybody's all of a sudden waking up to now, and then you go to Europe and see Deutsche Bank makes another 52-week low, clearly a stock that's underperformed now for quite some time. We've talked about that. Is it the canary in the coal mine? There's clearly something going on there, without question. BK has said it a number of times. You're talking about the biggest derivatives book in the history of mankind. Clearly something amiss. And I'm not suggesting there's something systemic, because I don't know that, but I am telling you that a bank the size of Deutsche Bank, if it was domiciled here in the United States, we talk about it the majority of our show
and
each time.
And the problem you have with Deutsche Bank, it's too big to bail. Their balance sheet is bigger than the GDP of Germany, right? So that is an issue that we need to keep an eye on. To me, it's simply the fact that their funding costs are going up right now, but they have a massive, massive derivatives book. It's the biggest in the world, that's netted.
To bail, meaning the ECB can do nothing.
Well, right. I mean, they have to print an awful lot of money.
But the Bundesbank is the ECB, guys.
Well, I'm not saying they won't. I'm just saying their balance sheet is bigger than German GDP, right? So you have to print a ton of money to bail them out.
Which is why I think the ECB is somewhat stuck here. But back to the market. Folks, I don't think that you're supposed to try. Look, what's happened over the last 2 days is extraordinary. These are not, I mean, I'm not going to tell you that this feels like the first quarter of 2016, but seeing 700 point reversals like routinely back and forth. It's not just markets are going down. It's markets are going up. Markets are going down.
2% up and 2% down.
What's been extraordinary, all this is sentiment, right? It has nothing to do with the corporation and earnings. So think about Facebook.
Listen, guys, I've been straight on
Facebook. I've been hands all over this thing saying sell the stock and avoid it. But there is a very big difference when you're approaching earnings season about a business.
But their earnings are going to be impacted by this.
Their earnings are going to be fine. I guarantee you they put up $1.75.
Let's say the earnings come in fine for the quarter. How about the conference call? What are they going to say about the next one? You don't think they're going to talk about regulation in the EU as well as here?
The only thing that can derail the story right now is engagement. If engagement shifts meaningfully, that's a problem, and you have to keep an eye on that. But I'm telling you, earnings is going to come around, and they're going to print a good number.
So the whole delete your Facebook account thing isn't going to impact engagement? Come on, that's crazy.
I am a guy that basically have said sell the stock and don't jump in head first yet. But there is going to be a price based on valuation when they're growing earnings this year at 40%.
What's that price, a dollar?
More broadly. Is earnings season going to be the savior of this market?
I'm not sure it is. And I'll tell you, if you think of when all this volatility started, it started in late January, early February, and it started on a Friday when we had a jobs number that was outstanding, but we had a wage growth number that we hadn't seen in many years.
February 2nd.
That put the Fed on the table, and that's when this all started. So I said it last night. I couldn't spell tariffs in late January. Now that's what everybody's talking about. And Facebook was not a story then. That's the convenient story. But to me, the backbone of all this and where it all the foundation of this volatility was built on that February 2nd, and the Fed is absolutely in play this year.
For more on today's huge market reversal, let's bring in Steve Chavarone, the portfolio manager with Federated Investors. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
What do you make of the market volatility that we're seeing? Do you remain bullish here?
We added to equities yesterday. I know there's a lot of concern out in the marketplace, but, you know, our view is this. You're right. The market has an imagination when earnings reports aren't coming out daily. But we're about to enter not just a good earnings report season, but the best since 2011. The 2018 earnings estimates risen over the last 6 months more than
about,
any
you're
full
talking
year
about
estimate
rear
we've seen
view
in our
mirror,
data.
You're talking about rearview mirror, though, first quarter earnings, right?
But Q2 is supposed to be better than Q1, and Q3 is supposed to be better still.
But if earnings revisions have gone higher, haven't stocks priced that in?
Well, no, because what you've seen is the market's actually gotten cheaper on that. I mean, we're down on the year. And as we look at it, yeah, there's certainly opportunities for volatility. The market is fixated on trade. It's fixated on inflation. But the inflation hasn't really come through outside of that number in January. On trade, it looks like it's more negotiation than reality. I mean, the positive stimulus in the economy between tax reform, deregulation, and repatriation is somewhere 20 times the size of the cost of tariffs. And so if you've got a strong earnings background, you've got a strong economic background, there can be volatility, but you got to take the over. And that's our view.
Do you like tech here?
We have some concerns about Facebook and what it means. I mean, I think the story here is that we've agreed implicitly to sell our data for commercial purposes, for better advertisements. Right. We have not agreed implicitly or explicitly to do that for electioneering purposes.
Right.
And the competitive advantage of these companies is their data and their ability to use it to provide high ROI to the advertisers.
So you have questions about the business model?
I do. I think big tech is where financials were about a decade ago. They have to decide if they're going to self-regulate or they're going to invite the government in the front door to do it for them.
I feel like the horse has left the barn on that one. I mean, you got every regulator across continents breathing down their throats, wanting Mark Zuckerberg basically his head on a silver platter delivered to Parliament or to Congress.
I wouldn't disagree. I think in terms of Facebook, yes. I mean, I think if you're Google, if you're Amazon, if you're some of these other firms, and if you're Amazon or if you're Apple, I think you can play up the fact that you protect data better than your competitors.
So concerns about technology, what does it mean for your broader view? You're still bullish, so you think that the markets can rally even without the biggest sector of the market?
In Q1, so first of all, we don't think it's going to roll over and die here. There's still strong earnings growth across semis and other areas of that sector. Also, in Q1, we're expecting positive earnings growth across all 11 sectors. Six of them, not named tech, are going to grow by double digits. We think that it's time for a new group to take the mantle. We think it could be financials, but we don't think the market rolls over and dies here.
You're just talking about the yield curve being extremely flat.
Agreed.
That's not a problem?
I think you got a new buyer coming in. I think if you look at these names, they were dividend darlings, you know, a decade ago. Yields are starting to move to 2.5. I think with another CCAR, we could start getting closer to 3. They're trading at 13 to 15 times versus Staples at 18. Yeah. That strikes me as an opportunity.
So you're not concerned about earnings growth slowing down at all. What does concern you, though? Let's say we have Q2 come in, all these companies all of a sudden warn. Is there something that you would look for in a big picture macro that you'd say, you know what, it looks like the earnings aren't going to be as good?
Yeah, I mean, I think inflation has to come through. I mean, you have to have a market pickup in inflation, not just wage inflation, but actual the core CPI numbers. Our base case is based on a gradual grind up in inflation and rates, not a sharp pickup. And so if trade does that, if you've got some exogenous shock, we would be worried. But absent a shock in inflation, we're going to be bullish.
Steve, you're 3,300 on the S&P. Are you valuing the cost of equity or the risk environment any differently than you were 3 months ago? Because I am.
You know, Mike Tyson had a line, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face. Our job is to be disciplined. We came in with a thesis that earnings were going to grow at a meaningful pace, that economic growth was going to accelerate, and we wanted to choose those sectors that we thought would benefit from that. And every time the market's pulled back, we've consistently added to that part of the market.
At what point does it worry you that being disciplined is the same thing as being dogmatic about something?
Yeah, so being stubborn and being cowardly are sins in equal measure. You have to have an objective framework. We start with a quantitative basis. We have our fundamental view, and you have to undermine that fundamental view. And for us, it's earnings. And nothing has undermined that view to this point.
All right, Steve, good to see you. Thank you. Steve Chavarone, a Federated Investor.
I think you let it off. I was right. I think that's what you said, Steve. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
She's good by the guy.
I don't know. I didn't hear that.
Here's what I'd say. Look, I am with you guys. We talked about Facebook.
Tell us about Facebook.
We talked about the sell-off within large-cap social media and mega-cap tech. I am on the same page as you from that perspective. I think it's a sentiment shift right now. I do believe there's a time before earnings you could step in and buy these names and make some money.
Okay, go for it. I just don't know what price it's at.
I don't know. I just think,
I agree with you that we've had a sentiment shift. Until that either gets extremely, extremely bearish and you see one of those reversal days, or we hear some kind of sentiment shift, then I don't think you step into this market. You don't have to be a hero here whatsoever. The answer is we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how trade's going to hit. We don't know how earnings are going to be impacted. Why buy today?
So what do we do today?
I hedged up a little bit more. I know on a day like today, it's not necessarily, I should have done it yesterday. But I got to tell you one thing also, though. This hopefully is instructive. I don't think you're supposed to get more complicated in this environment. I'm stressing simplicity. I'm stressing not doing a lot. But I think that the risk environment has gotten a little worse. And I'd rather have hedged up around that.
Guy.
Pharmaceuticals traded all right if you look. I mean, Pfizer traded unchanged on the day. There was a large technology name that I will not name. It's called a tease. That we'll talk later in the show.
Oh, that's nice. I now want to know about it,
guy. Made an all-time high today and closed higher on a lousy tape.
Oh.
That's an interesting name.
Oh, I think I know what it is.
No, you don't.
Berg.
Continue to press the Twitter. I think it's going to go a lot lower. And looking at Google, keeping an eye on that $1,000 level, if it holds here, I'm going to be comfortable enough to jump in.
Twitter's going a lot lower, but you think Facebook's not going to have an
earnings? Because Twitter's totally different. I think it's a completely different
set. How is it totally
different? Because they're actually selling. They're actually selling and profiting from the data versus cultivating their entire platform. Absolutely very different.
Isn't Facebook effectively selling the data and
making
money?
Using the data that they use to better their platform is one thing. Using actually selling it and making $300 million at a 90% margin, that's
in jeopardy, in my
opinion.
How does selling ads better their platform?
It's not selling ads.
It's selling
data. It's very different as far as I'm concerned.
They're both selling their data.
They're both selling their data. You think one doesn't have any earnings?
They're cultivating. No, Facebook
and investors are
going to
make that distinction. That is
splitting hairs.
There is
a very big difference between the way Facebook uses it and the way Twitter's using it in this one particular area. They're selling it. They're getting $300 million in revenue. It's a 90% margin business. And frankly, people, I think that goes away.
And you don't think a 12% decline reflects that?
Are they a charity?
And by the way, look at the multiple. Twitter's crazy valuation here. It's nuts.
Anyway, coming up.
Nuts.
It was an ugly day out there on Wall Street, but a top technician says there's one chart that has him pounding the table. He'll be here to tell us what that is, plus an unexpected bright spot in today's market. General Electric having its best day in months. But is it just a dead cat bounce? The traders will weigh in. And later, it's been roadblock after roadblock for the self-driving car market. A number of once hot stocks are getting slammed. We will break down the winners and the losers. You're watching Fast Money. We're live from Times Square in New York City. Much more Fast right after this. Welcome back to Fast Money. Despite today's sell-off, General Electric topping the tape, managing to post its best day in more than 2 months. Shares of the oldest Dow stock jumping more than 4% off speculation that Berkshire's Warren Buffett or another big investor may be building a stake in the industrial giant. Now, just yesterday, the stock hit its lowest level in nearly 10 years. The company has struggled to convince investors of a real turnaround plan, even with a new CEO at the helm. With GE still down more than 23% this year, is this stock worth the risk? Tim says yes. You're an owner.
Yeah, I'm an owner of the stock, and I've owned it late in the game here, but I'm certainly down 25% in a position that's, frankly, insignificant to me in terms of its size. But I do think that GE at $110 billion has intrinsic value that people are pricing in. Here's one thing, too. People talk about the multiple. They say, it's not going to earn a buck, or say it's going to earn a buck. What multiple do you put on? If you put a 15 times on it, should be trading at 15 bucks, or you could put 11 times because they're not making any money. But the bottom line is, when companies make no money, do you price them at zero? And this is where I go with this. I get the sum of the parts. I get the smart guys that have been right on this. But I also think the investor sentiment has been just so one way on this. So Buffett, maybe. I'd prefer to say that the stock did nothing when the stock market rallied 700 points on the Dow. And I think today's catch-up with a rumor.
Yeah, well, for me, I've tried to own this several times this year, and I've probably lost 25% on my trades just in and out of them. It's broken my heart several times, but my thesis has been you have to wait on GE.
That's a big heart, Brian.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Big heart.
Yeah.
Broken.
Yeah, well, now I ruined all my rhythm. I don't know what I was going to say. Oh, no, I know what I was going to say. I was going to say that my thesis has been you can't get back into this name until somebody like Buffett comes in. I was kind of hoping Buffett would come in secretly and then you'd get that spike up and you can go along with it. But I do think at some point here, somebody like a Buffett or some other value player is going to scoop this up. So using today's low as your stop out point, I think you can get in.
That's exactly. No, well, because that's BK took, like that meatloaf song, it took the words right out of my mouth.
No idea what you're talking about. talking
I thought it was
about.
The first cut is the deepest. Cut.
Well, that's Rod Stewart's song, which is a great tune, but anyway. I like Rod Stewart.
How about
Faces,
two out of three ain't bad?
I don't care.
Which is also a loss. No, BK's point is
yes. Not Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
At least you know what your risk reward is. And I don't know if Mr. Buffett is getting into the name
no
or not.
Does.
I'm a big believer where there's smoke, there's fire. But if nothing else, the 1280 level now provides you with a nice floor to trade against.
You can't invest in this story. I mean, it's dead money as far as I'm concerned. You'll get trading bounces here and there like we saw today. And look, Buffett gets in. Great. But you can. This has got less than 90 cents in free cash flow. The story is broken. It takes a long time to
what fix. What if they sell their data?
You know what? I'm going to come over the desk.
Things will be fine, Brian. You know what?
I'm coming over the desk.
Coming up, are the wild market swings keeping you up at night? Don't worry, we've got you covered. Guy Dami will break down a three-point plan on how to trade in a volatile market later this hour. I'm Melissa Lee. You're watching Fast Money on CNBC, first in business worldwide. In the meantime, here's what else is coming up on Fast.
That's what Wall Street looked like today, as investors ran for cover. But a top technician is swimming against the stream. He'll tell us the one sector he thinks is a screaming buy. Much more Fast Money right after this.
Welcome back to Fast Money. Stocks getting slammed today as a big midday reversal sent the Dow reeling back into a correction. Let's get to Bob Pisani at the New York Stock Exchange for all the details. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Melissa. It was another whipsaw session for the stock market, a 700-point range in the Dow. Even by the standards of the last 2 months, that's a lot. What's going on? Two issues have emerged in the last month that may or may not have an impact on earnings. First, the trade war stories. They ebb and flow every day, but everyone agrees that an all-out trade war would be detrimental to earnings. It's just not clear if we're going to have one or not. That's creating confusion. Second, technology has been a market leader around two big groups, FANG stocks and semiconductors. Both are having moments of doubt and pain right now. The recent crisis in social media stocks around Facebook has led many to question whether user engagement and advertising will lessen, not just for Facebook, but for other social media stocks, as well as Google/Alphabet. Now, that could definitely affect earnings. Then you have NVIDIA's announcement hitting other semiconductors today with skin in the driverless car game. So On Semiconductor, Microchip Tech, Micron, Cypress Semi all dropped. That's a separate worry. The markets took another turn down in the last hour when yields on the 10-year Treasury dropped below 2.8%. That was the first time since early February, and you know everyone's suspicious about what that could mean, slowdown overall. That brought down bank stocks, another major component for the market. So with banks and tech both weak, the overall market just drooped. So what's all this mean? It means that there is more uncertainty in the market. Uncertainty about trade wars, uncertainty about technology, and uncertainty about regulatory actions. It's all a kind of toxic stew right now for that market leadership group. Melissa, back to you.
All right, Bob, thank you. Bob Pisani at the New York Stock Exchange. On semiconductors specifically, when you think of autonomous, I know, that doesn't sound very appetizing, does it? When you think of autonomous cars, you don't think of some of those names that Bob had put up there, and yet they all got thrown out. So are there chips that got thrown out with the bathwater today?
Well, again, on a day like today, people look at valuations and say there's no way that these valuations made sense. Look, NVIDIA is on the cutting edge of the semi sector where a lot of these chips are used for AI. A lot of these chips are used in leading edge technologies. That doesn't necessarily change. First of all, AI is going nowhere. AI is everything, and it's everything tomorrow. So autonomous is going through some understandable difficulties right now on the regulatory side. This should not knock these guys down.
But like a Micron, for
Intel.
Instance.
Well, Micron, yeah. You know, I thought, I thought the quarter from Micron was outstanding. Yeah. I'm not sure what scared people. I think what scared people is the fact that if the Chinese are going to retaliate, if there's some tariff thing, they'll do it in the form of flooding the market with DRAM, and that's going to be obviously detrimental to Micron. But if you look at it on a valuation basis, it's cheap. And I'll say this real quick. Intel got an upgrade yesterday. What do we do when you walk over the plasma with the mid on? Power pitch. Yeah, power pitch. Pete did that the other day. And, Intel, obviously, down today on a bad tape. But, I mean, that if you're asking for stocks that are sort of should not be thrown out with the rest of the gang.
Which they did two days ago to it as well, last Friday.
Well, our next guest says there might be a buying opportunity in one of the major sectors. Let's go off the charts with Chris Varone of Strategus Research Partners. Chris, do you tell us what to buy amidst the sell-off?
Quite a day, and we'll start actually with the broader market here. I just want to make an observation. Something we see in corrective phases, you have to get to a point where there's a lot of fear out there. The way we look at that is through put calls. finally, over the last couple days, we're getting a meaningful spike in the put-call ratio. It's not dissimilar to what we saw January, February of 16, and also very similar what we saw near the lows in 2011. So finally getting some sense that sentiment is getting flushed out. The other thing that we've noticed over the last several days here, even as the markets traded lower, the internals have actually gotten better. Only 15% of the S&P made a one-month low today. It peaked at 80% back in February. So as the market has traded lower, internal conditions have actually improved over the last few days. And then lastly, what looks most actionable right here? Financials are the most oversold, just 6% of stocks above their 50-day moving average, going back to that January, February of 2016 bottom. I think we're getting close on some of these bank stocks. J.P. Morgan near 102, 103, Bank of America near 27, 28. I think we're in the ballpark of putting in some lows in these bank names.
I think Chris is going to come on over.
Yeah. He has to.
Yeah.
I mean, we need him today.
Day like today, we need a technical analyst. Is he in the Pantheon?
Oh, no, he is actually working his way
up to the Pantheon.
You know, it takes a long time to get into Parthenon. Got to wait online and buy tickets.
Yeah.
All right. So when you pull up the chart of the 10-year yield and the 2-year yield, what does that show you? And does that matter to you that spreads are awful right now for the banks?
Well, let's talk about the 210 curve.
Okay.
And there's this common conception out there that banks can only work when the curve steepens. It's historically false. It's wrong. We went back over the last 80 years. Half the time, banks are outperforming, their curve is flattening. Half the times, it's steepening.
How about more recently, though? Does that break down differently more recently? Because it feels like when the 10-year yield is down and the spreads have compressed, that banks do trade lower.
So let's just, again, put this in context. When we saw banks trade lower in 2010, 2011, when we saw banks lower in 15 and 16, those were bear flatteners. That was the curve flattening because bond yields were moving lower. For the most part, over the last year, the curve has flattened because the short end has moved higher. So 2-year yields hanging out in this 228, 230 range, I don't think is the worst backdrop for banks to work.
Quickly then, and I know LIBOR has obviously had a huge move, the highest we've seen it. Again, I bring up 08 only because it was 08, but is that a warning flag?
Well, we can't ignore it. And certainly anytime there is stress in credit, we have to pay attention to what that means for the broader market. But one thing I would point out, we always want to know what the marginal issue is doing, the marginal credit. I like to look at the spread between high yield and investment grade. That's still pretty stable here. The high yield issue is not being treated any worse than the investment grade issue. So I think at the margin, LIBOR are concerned, yes, but has it spread into high yield corporates? Really not so much. And that's a big difference from some prior sell-offs that we've seen.
Okay, so now we're on the heels of having digested a bunch of 2% up or down days on the S&P 500, effectively. Has there been technical damage done to any sector or any chart that you're watching?
And I think this is all part of the process, right? And one thing we always see in these corrective phases is the best stocks always go last. It's not a coincidence that they're selling tech here. It's not a coincidence they're selling the banks here. The best ones always go last. When we look at some of the individual sectors, when you look at some of the FANG names in particular, I think the damage you've seen in Facebook is significant. Now, that said, put volume in Facebook the last couple days is the highest on record. The stock can probably bounce here, maybe 170, 172, but we have to imagine it's dead money up there. You'll get that bounce. There's a lot of interested sellers, I would guess, in that, maybe even 165 range. But when you see that huge spike in put volume, we have it for the market, we have it for Facebook, you probably don't want to press shorts at this point.
Okay, Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
Chris Varone of Strategus.
Well, the financials are interesting, and then you look at XLF, right? And there is some serious support here over the last, let's say, call it 2-3 months. So if you are going to take a stab at something, at least you know what your risk reward is in XLF. And it has been a market leader. We do know, even, you know, Chris is talking about over the last 80 years, the yield curve hasn't necessarily mattered. We've had other guests, Tony Dwyer, talked about the fact even when the yield curve inverts, you still get 18 months or so of positive returns. So I think if any place I wanted to jump in, it would be financials.
I think the yield curve obviously matters. It's important, but I think the variable of cost cutting, the variable of deregulation, if you will, especially for these regional banks, is super important to keep in mind. So, you know, the cost cutting structures for these guys, the balance sheet freeing up from, you know, really like constricting levels from before is a win-win for them. And I look at that and say, that's the tailwind, in my opinion, in the regional banks and some of these larger names.
Well, I totally agree with Chris. If you correlate 2-10 spreads to bank prices and you go back to 2006 and 2007 and before the crisis, these banks were on a flatter yield curve, were making a ton of money. They're geared towards LIBOR. They're geared towards the low end of the curve. So on that, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I think the downward sloping 50-day is not a disaster. It just means that I think we've been in this longer. It's defining the trend, and it's harder to suddenly break higher. I think it means it ensures you are at this a little bit longer before you start to turn around.
All right, still ahead. Does all this volatility have your head spinning? Well, don't panic, because Guy Adami's got three simple steps to trading a wild market. He will break down it. You'll break that down later on in the show. Plus, Twitter tanking today, entering a bear market after short seller Andrew Left slammed the social media giant. We'll hear the comments that sent the stock reeling. Much more Fast Money right after this. Welcome back to Fast Money. NVIDIA and Tesla both tanking today as the company's self-driving struggles starting to get real. Phil LeBeau joins us here on set.
And with regard to Tesla, Moody's out within the last couple of minutes downgrading the credit ratings for Tesla, talking about the credit outlook being negative, in part because you get cash flow concerns, all the things we talked about yesterday when it comes to production three, the production ramping, Model 3 production ramping slower than anticipated. When you look at Tesla, though, some other negative headlines today, and we've talked about this, that we are in that period here where you may see some negative headlines. One of them coming today, which sent the stock down almost 5% when it first came out, is news that the NTSB will be investigating the crash of a Model X in California on Friday. It's not necessarily that the NTSB is investigating the crash. It's that they are looking into the fire with the Model X afterwards, how long, how intense it was burning, the efforts to secure the vehicle. We talked to the NTSB today. I'm not sure there's a whole lot you can read into it at this point, aside from they're looking into this. And there have been concerns that have been raised by first responders, not just with Tesla, but with all electric vehicles when it comes to responding to those.
Specific to this crash, though, the battery's in the front of the vehicle, obviously. And so this was a frontal crash, correct? And so
the battery's not in the front. The battery's in the bottom.
In the bottom.
Yeah. And the car, as we understand it, slid into a barrier, went head-on into a barrier. Now, they don't know if it was in autonomous mode, but when we talked to the NTSB, they made it clear they're not investigating whether it was in autonomous mode or not. What they're looking for, or autopilot, what they're looking at is the intensity of the fire, what was behind it, securing the vehicle afterwards for first responders. Having said that, anytime you have the NTSB involved, it's going to weigh on the stock, and that's what we saw earlier in the day. Now, with regard to NVIDIA, NVIDIA has announced that it's suspending its autonomous drive test program on public roads. Remember, NVIDIA's technology is in the Uber vehicle and Uber vehicles, and Uber had the accident last week in Arizona where a woman was hit while the vehicle was in autonomous mode. So as a result, NVIDIA is saying, we're not going to be doing the public testing. Sure, they're still going to be running the simulators, et cetera. And so that's also weighing on NVIDIA today. And then finally, as long as we're talking about self-driving cars, one of the announcements today here in New York came from Waymo announcing that it has struck a deal with Jaguar, buying 20,000 Jaguars. They will be modified. These are the all-electric I-Pace SUVs. They will have the distinctive dome on the top, which has the LiDAR and the cameras. And Waymo believes this vehicle will be huge in terms of its expansion of autonomous drive ride sharing here in the United States starting in 2020.
So Tesla seems to be at the crosshairs or the center of all of these sort of cross currents in that the NTSB is investigating, and I would imagine that the questions could remain, you know, about the battery, about the structure of the vehicle. All those questions remain unanswered right now. And then in terms of Waymo choosing Jaguar over Tesla, that could be perceived as another hit to Tesla. And then the last one about NVIDIA suspending all the tests. I mean, this throws into doubt also Tesla's self-driving car
autopilot.
Autopilot
work. Look, we're in the messy transition. You're right about Tesla. And Tesla, we talked about yesterday, they've got all of these negative headlines that are potentially
on top of delivery concerns.
Are all going to be hitting within the next few months, which are weighing on the stock. But in terms of self-driving vehicles, we're in the messy transition. We will see more accidents. Unfortunately, we will see more fatalities. The bulk of the accidents involving these vehicles have been resulting from humans hitting the vehicles. We're the idiots. And there's 275 million of us out there driving vehicles. So it's going to take a while until we get past this. And unfortunately, when you have your first fatality, it's going to get a lot of attention.
Phil, you've been covering this beat for a long time. Is Tesla an auto company or a technology company? In your opinion, from the people you speak to.
Technology company that is trying to
ramp up and become a full-service manufacturer transportation company when it comes to automobiles. But there's no doubt that I think I look at it as a technology company in part because they're spread out into so many areas.
Can I ask a follow-up on that then? So if it's a technology company, are other OEMs, so other large traditional auto companies, also becoming technology companies because they're arguably on the same path?
Yes, they are. Unfortunately, they have so many of the legacy issues that are attached to them that investors don't view them that way. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter that General Motors has some of the best technology that's out there. Mm-hmm. You talk with people in the auto industry, they will tell you that. They also have how many different plants here in the United States and around the world? And those legacy issues spook investors who want to give them a higher multiple.
So I have a theoretical question for you guys. If Tesla is a technology company that's trying to ramp and become an auto company effectively, should the multiple come down?
Well,
should
it
be closer? Should it move closer to an auto company? Not be a multiple of an auto company.
No, it's technology companies are priced based on expectations, right, of future market, future growth, et cetera. So when the growth manager is looking at whatever premium multiple they're paying, you know, for Tesla, they're paying that premium multiple for a reason, and it's execution. So I look at production right now and say production's huge, but the question is it priced in right now, given all the negativity in the story? Are we pricing in right now, worst-case scenario, with production on the Model 3?
Like, well, hold on. But
right now we're at that level.
We've been failing on production for years, and the stock's been going higher. So we haven't been pricing it in at all.
Well, I think
and, in fact, the
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for most investors.
But he's saying that it's been priced in. I don't think it's been priced in at all. And we've got an April delivery or production release coming out where the companies, I mean, Elon Musk kind of tells us we're having a little trouble here. And we know that they had a little trouble, even though they got a lot better towards the end of the first quarter. So the problem with the stock and the move today, in addition to all those things that you're pointing out, Phil, is that if they don't make that production number, the market's going to assume there's a dilutive capital raise around the corner.
Correct. That's what Moody's was talking about today. Right. You've got the cash flow concerns.
Right.
And at the end of the day, that should spook investors. But you guys know, we've seen this before. You try to talk to a Tesla investor, it's like, hey, the sky is blue. No, it's not. It's orange.
So they said 2,500 a week. By the end of the quarter, they were going to have production.
They're
at 1,000 roughly right now.
They should be building 2,500 this week while we are here.
So the street's pricing in right now 1,000 a week, which is right where we stand. I mean, if you look at the online stats on where they are, based on the VIN number tracking, it's 1,000 a week. So if we come in at 1,000 a week, how does the market react to that? They continue to press this down, or do you believe that's already priced in?
I think it's priced in.
Yeah.
I don't think the market cares. I mean, yeah, we have some of these headlines, but the investors in this are looking at Tesla. Maybe it's a tech company. Maybe, what do you want to label it? I label it as a venture capital deal. You're talking about things that are going to happen in the future. They're going to build out these markets. You're talking about decarbonizing the electric grid here in the U.S.
Yeah,
and that's, to me, why people are in Tesla for a 10-year time frame.
The move in Tesla, is this simply a story of de-risking in the market, or is this a Tesla-specific story?
We're running up against it. I think it's a Tesla-specific story. We have a chart real quick. Pull it up there, Cracksaf and EC, because I will tell you, as I've mentioned a number of times, 2014, 280 was the high. 2015, 280 was the high. Where did we close today? 280. That is support. So if you're looking for risk-reward, it sets up really well. And Ben Callow, who was the axe into space, thinks they're going to ramp up. It's going to happen much quicker than everybody else does. So I think you can buy it here with a tight stop.
Phil, thank you. Good to see you. Good to be in a row.
Thanks, Phil. 2 days in a row. You got to do this more often. How about three? Can we get you tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm in town tomorrow for the auto show.
Tomorrow. All right. We should note, Jim Cramer will be sitting down with the NVIDIA CEO in an exclusive interview on Mad Money. That's 6 p.m. on Thursday. Coming up, Twitter tanking today after short seller Andrew Left slammed the social media giant, accusing it of selling user data. And there's something in the charts that point to more pain. We will break it down. Plus, volatility has returned to the markets with a vengeance. But if you're worried about your portfolio, don't be. Guy here has got three steps to trading in a tough tape. Much more fast. Go ahead. Welcome back to Fast Money. Andrew Left striking again, this time taking aim at Twitter. The stock falling 12% today and entering a bear market after Left accused a social media platform of selling user data and information from direct messages. Twitter responding on Twitter, of course, tweeting, Twitter is public by nature. Public tweets are viewable and searchable by anyone. This is the power of Twitter. To be clear, our data licensing business does not sell DMs, direct messages. Any reports to the contrary are wrong. Now, Andrew Left appeared on Closing Bell earlier today. Here's what he had to say.
People woke up to the privacy issue last week, but it's been longstanding. No one cared about this. So going forward, I think at these multiples, Twitter becomes uninvestable until we see what happens, until we see the changes that are being made on the social media space.
So will Twitter face Facebook's woes?
Hey, look, I think it's an issue, and I talk about this. They weren't selling DM directly, but they were they're absolutely cultivating and taking their data and information and selling it to third-party vendors to use for different reasons. So very different than Facebook using whatever data they compile and creating a value to sell to ad buyers. Completely different. So selling their third-party data or their data to third-party sort of vendors, they're getting $300 million a year, 90% margin. That's a lot of revenue when you're looking at $2 billion in revenue.
15%. Twitter's 15%.
First of all, Twitter is uninvestable right now, I think makes no sense to me, especially when 3 weeks ago we were talking about a company, and maybe you weren't, that was finally making money and certainly is more profitable. Let's be clear about something, folks. If you're on a platform that's free to use, you are the product, and essentially you're not paying for a reason. Or, in fact, something like Netflix, by the way, you're also having data. That is being used, that's being sold. No one woke up today and was surprised by
that. And I would also be very careful about selling short this stock or even just not buying and saying, I can't buy it, based on a single report that the company itself has specifically refuted, saying, we don't do this type of thing. So I think, to be clear, I think all social media companies, including Google, anybody who sells your data is going to be in the crosshairs.
So
I don't think
so you don't want to touch any of them right
now? No, I think
now.
There's going to be a point in Twitter that you can buy it, but I don't want to touch anything right now until this washes out.
All right, options traders are betting on more pain ahead for Twitter, so let's get to Mike Coe out in Austin, Texas to break it down. Hey, Mike.
Hi there. So we saw almost four times the average daily put volume, the most active with a weekly 30 strike puts, over 10,000 of those trading for about a buck. Obviously, they started to trade early in the day and were trading at a higher price by the end of the day. Those are bets that Twitter's going to be lower by the end of the week. But I should point out options premiums are substantially higher than they have been, looking for moves on average of about 3.5% per day for the next 90 days.
All right, Mike, thanks. Mike Coe in Austin, Texas. Reminder, we are off on Friday because of the Good Friday holiday. So you can tune in the following Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
Will they run
show.
OA reruns on Friday, like an OA marathon?
Best of.
Like a honeymoon?
Still ahead, stocks getting slammed again today as volatility takes the market by storm. We've got three simple rules to trading these wild swings. We are live at the Nasdaq Market Site in New York City's Times Square. Don't go anywhere. Much more fast straight ahead. Welcome back to Fast Money. It was another wild day for the markets. The stocks sold off into the close, and with the Dow entering correction for the second time in a week, it seems like volatility is here to stay. So how should you navigate through these wild swings? Guy here over at the Plaza with a little segment we like to call The More You Know. Guy.
Yes, Melissa, and thank you for having me at the Plasma. So there are three things that I look at. Number one, keep calm. Now, what does that mean? That's glib. It's not meant to be glib. You watch NFL, Mel. The great quarterbacks are able to stand in the pocket, make the game slow down around them. When everything is speeding up, they slow it down. That's what you should be trying to do now. Slow things down. Keep calm. Number two, adjust to the market conditions. What does that mean? Tim spoke to it earlier in the show. Trade the markets you have, not the market you want. We are in a period of heightened volatility. I think it's here to stay. Understand that. What does it mean? You got two strikes on you, Tim. What do? You choke up on the bat, right? That's what you do.
I try to go the other way with
it. And you try to go the other way.
Try to go the other way with
it. You go with the pitch, and that's what we do in trading. Number three, look for a tell. And that's going to take me to my chart. Watch how quickly it turns. Watch. See the magic of that? What is a tell, folks? I'll give you a tell. What has been under pressure? What is 23.5% of the market, the S&P 500? Technology. Technology got obliterated today. But Red Hat, a stock that made an all-time high today, didn't. Actually closed higher on the day. In my world, that is a tell. And I'm going to try to draw a line here. Work with me. Look at what we have here. Look at this nice trend line from the lower left to the upper right. That, folks, is a tell. So you should be looking for those things on days where the world goes haywire. There's always opportunity. Back to you, Melissa.
Who likes Red Hat here?
That was impressive.
Who likes Red Hat?
Forget
about Guy's line drawing ability.
How can I forget about his line drawing ability?
It's pretty stunning. Stellar.
Look at that. I mean, that's freehand, and that thing is straight as an arrow. Look, he's done another one. He's got a channel. You're in the Parthenon of technical analysis there.
RHT.
I do like the idea that it closed near the highs into the market like that. That, to me, as a trader, sticks out, and I say that's a name that I want to have.
Although Chris Ferrone talked about that the leadership is the last to fall. So, I mean, I think in this environment, if you like the valuation red hot and you like the overall story, as Guy said, be calm and stay in the trade. But this is an environment where I think multiples that don't make sense are not going to make sense.
Up next, final trades. Time for the final trade, Tim.
Here's a global auto company that has tremendous technology, GM, and I think it's been battered by trade war. It's been battered by the whole thing. Very cheap.
32.
Just from a technical setup, Google, if it holds $1,000 tomorrow after the stock opens, I think that you buy it.
Brian Kelly.
So we've had equity volatility. We've had bond volatility. What comes next? Currency volatility. You buy GLD to play that.
Interesting.
I like those more you knows. It gets me out of breath. Red Hat now appears to be lower in the after hours. That's not all that important to me because I do think you're looking for companies that have that. What's that word we use? It's four letters, one syllable. Moat. Moat. That one's got a moat.
I'm Melissa Lee. Thanks for watching. See you back here tomorrow at 5 for more Fast Money. Meantime, Mad Money with Jim Cramer starts right now.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.